Please rise. Our text on this Reformation Festival Sunday is found recorded in the book of Revelation in the 14th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, dear fellow saints of the Lord, our text is drawn from a book that's arguably the most fascinating of all the Bible books. Revelation is a book that's also very widely misunderstood, and it's quoted perhaps more often than any other to support a number of bizarre, outlandish, and just plain false teachings. Now, you may be aware Revelation was written by the evangelist John while he was languishing in exile on Patmos, an island just off the coast of what is today modern Turkey. In his book, he records seven visions that Jesus caused him to see, visions in which Jesus pictures the future history of his church, revealing things hidden from human view, but are nonetheless blessed realities, which is to say, things truly are so in the unseen spirit world, and as the Lord our God is able to observe them. What's the main teaching of the book of Revelation that Jesus wants to convey to us through this book and those visions? Well, you maybe heard the story of the Christian father who was leading his family through a study of Revelation in their devotions through the weeks of the summer one year. And after concluding the family's discussion of the contents of Revelation after all those weeks, the father asked his little boy, 7-year-old Johnny, "So Johnny, what did you learn from the book of Revelation this summer? What is God teaching us by all those fantastic visions that we heard about?" Johnny's answer, "I know, Dad. Jesus and the devil got into a big war, and Jesus won." Johnny hit the nail right on the head. Though admittedly, there are features of John's visions in Revelation that can be hard to wrap our brain around, its message is crystal clear, and that is that God sent his son Jesus to engage Satan in a battle for the souls of men, and he came out victorious. And in today's sermon, we want to consider how that Jesus not only won the victory over Satan for us, defeating him soundly by his Savior work, but also that the message that he's given us to share in his behalf, the gospel, is invincible. Cuts through earth's darkness with heavenly good news, spreads out to every nation and people, and it encourages true Christian faith in the hearts of all who hear it. Now, speaking a picture language of the Bible, the Lord uses to teach important heavenly truths, heavenly realities. One such reality is presented in passages of Scripture that use the picture of darkness, like Isaiah 60, verse 2, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. The heavenly truth the Lord conveys here is that, I think you know this, everyone by nature is hopelessly groping around in the dark night of spiritual ignorance, having no true knowledge of the true God or ever coming to know Him on their own, just like people stumbling around in the pitch black recesses of an underground cave will not find the light without any help. Call how Jesus, however, when He appeared on the scene of history and as He went about preaching the Word of God, used this picture to describe the inborn natural condition of men. He said, "I've come as a light into the world so that whoever believes in Me should not abide in the darkness." And lo and behold, as He went about preaching the gospel to the people, we're walking in the darkness spiritually, they saw a great light. The Savior used His gospel to cut through earth's darkness and to call those who were sitting in the darkness into His marvelous light, blessing them with eyes that could see Him as their Savior now, sent from heaven to heal them of their sin sickness. We read in Matthew chapter 11, "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, good news, preached to them." Friends, the same thing happened by God's grace 500 years ago in the days of the Reformation. The gospel had been covered by a thick shroud of erroneous human teaching. Jesus was not being presented to the people as their loving Savior sent by God to overthrow Satan and bring them victory over death and the grave, but as a vengeful judge standing at the ready to condemn sinners to hell in His anger. But then God used Luther graciously to pull the cloak off that was covering that beautiful gospel message, to help people know and to confess joyfully, as you are able to do today in His catechism, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, and His innocent sufferings and death. And He did this that I should be His very own, live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as He is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity." This is most certainly true. And interestingly, in Revelation 14, from which our text is taken, the verses here are considered by many Bible scholars to be a prophecy of what the Lord was going to accomplish through His servant Luther centuries later. They believe that that angel flying in the midst of heaven, remember the word angel means basically a messenger in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, is foretelling the events of the 16th century when God raised up Luther to restore the pure teaching of the gospel to the church. But even if this text isn't a prophecy directly of Martin Luther and what he would accomplish later on, what God would accomplish through him, it can certainly serve as a reminder of the blessed things that God has worked through men like Luther and others down through the centuries of church history. And we praise the Lord today that in the murky darkness of a sinful world in which the masses are groping in the dark night of unbelief, and more churches, sadly, are departing from the truth, mixing the worthless chaff of human ideas together with the weed of God's Word, the Lord continues to provide His church with teachers, pastors, as well as lay people who hold fast to his word and who delight in sharing the gospel good news, that Jesus is not an angry judge ready to condemn sinful people and punish them in hell, but he's a faithful Savior who loves us and gave himself for us just so that he might bring us into the light of his heavenly kingdom. In the words of Paul, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, undeserved love, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In these last days of sore distress that we're living in, filled, as I mentioned, with the rise of dark anti-Christian forces and satanic powers and false religions and wrong ideas about Jesus and the way to heaven, so dark that many believe that there's not even a God and that I don't need a Savior. Praise the Lord that he continues to use his invincible gospel to cut through the darkness and bring scores of people by faith into his marvelous light. You know, much is said today about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, organizational frameworks that promote the fair treatment and full participation of all people, especially the groups who have been underrepresented or subject to discrimination on the basis of their identity. This text from Revelation, which describes the invincibility of the gospel, also presents the splendid truth that the Lord's fervent desire is that everyone is to enjoy its blessings. As we read here, that flying angel in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, was to proclaim it to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. God sent Jesus to redeem citizens from all the nations, people of every skin color, people speaking all the languages, French, German, Efik, Espanol, Telugu, Arabic, Mandarin, Chinese, people of all the 7,000 language groups that are currently said to be in use. And it's interesting to note that back in chapter 7 of Revelation, which contains another fantastic vision Jesus granted to John on Patmos Island, John beheld a multitude no one could count, comprised of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. And they were all standing before God's throne. They were all clothed with white robes. They were all holding palm branches in their hands, symbols of victory. And they were all shouting with loud voices, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And when someone asked, "Well, who are these people that are dressed in white clothes? Where do they come from?" The answer was given, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation," or the great darkness, might say, "and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger anymore or thirst. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, lead them to living fountain of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So again, in other words, there are going to be people from all over the world in heaven. It's going to be a diverse group, to say the least, because the God of love sent his Son to redeem us all. And this group of diverse people will be equally blessed, equality. They're going to be possessors of equal blessings, not just a couple of them, or one or two, or a half dozen. They're going to enjoy every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In fact, they already do possess them this side of heaven, the crown jewel being the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of never-ending joy with Him in heaven. And all these blessings will be enjoyed and are already being enjoyed, not just by a minority or a majority, but once again by all who have anchored their hopes in Christ. The Bible teaching is gloriously true. My little children, these things I write to you, says John in his letter, so that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Finally, let's consider how that the gospel encourages true Christian faith in the hearts of all who hear it. Stories told, perhaps you heard the story of a man back in the day. He was headed home on a cold winter evening up in northern Minnesota, walking along a dusty road, probably pretty icy too. The shadows of dusk were beginning to fall, and he wanted to get home before night. But to reach his house, he had to cross a river that was iced over, and there was no bridge. So not sure about the thickness of the ice, uncertain if it could bear his weight, he dropped to his hands and knees and started crawling across the ice to distribute his weight as much as possible to keep the ice from breaking underneath him. And he made it about halfway across when he heard behind him the sound of someone whistling a merry tune, whinnying horses and a rumble of rolling wagon wheels, and he looked behind him over his shoulder and he saw a man driving a heavy horse-drawn wagon loaded with hay across that same frozen river over which he had been timidly creeping. And the man in the wagon pulled up next to him and he called out, "What are you doing, my man? Afraid of crashing through this ice? Don't you know? It's plenty thick to hold you up. You're not going to crash through any more than my big, heavy wagon." The moral of that story, the lesson of it, is that when we, by God's grace, have true Christian faith in the real and living God, again, worked by the invincible gospel, we're safe in His hands for time and for eternity. And this is the faith which only the gospel works and preserves in hearts. In the God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water, and who gave His Son to be delivered for our offenses and raised because of our justification. The other side of the lesson or the story is that those who trust in another God may believe in it ever so strongly, but it can't save them any more than a man who charges out confidently to cross a frozen river is safe when the ice is only an eighth inch thick. He's going to crash right on through no matter how confidently he believes in that non-existent God. So thank the Lord, friends, that He's blessed you with a true faith in Him and in His Son through His invincible gospel word. And may our prayer be as Bible believers and confessional Lutherans. Lord, keep us steadfast in Your word. Curb those who by deceit and sword would wrest the kingdom from Your Son and bring to naught all He has done. Lord Jesus Christ, Your power make known, for You are Lord of lords alone. Defend Your holy church that we may sing Your praise eternally. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.